I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We spent all this week talking about the dictionary wars, first talking about Noah Webster and Joseph Emerson Worcester, and then talking about the dictionary wars themselves. It's probably clear that between Worcester and Webster, I have an obvious favorite, and it's Worcester. because, you know, while I can be a cranky person with weird opinions, I feel like it had some flavors of like Tesla versus Edison or other disputes where it felt like one person kind of became the underdog while another person kind of rolled over him and became big, established, famous name.
Yeah.
I really wish that I knew more about Joseph Emerson Worcester's like life and his personality and all of that. There just is way less information that I found about him than about Noah Webster. And I think that is more about like Webster's name recognition and the fact that that Webster's dictionaries became such a staple, and not necessarily about each of their work, because they both did a ton of work.
Yeah.
Webster's maybe more broad in the kinds of things he was doing in terms of like the dictionaries and the big compendium of infectious disease stuff, but they both published a ton. Besides the dictionaries.
They did. I struggle because as we talked through all this and I was reading your outline when you sent it over, I kept going like, and I understand it. It's not even a criticism, except then it becomes one of like, was Webster just kind of slapdash? Like he had a lot of ideas, which I get, and he executed on those ideas. But when it came to like consistency, he did not have it. And
right.
So,
and it's kind of hilarious to think about not having consistency
in a
when
dictionary.
The thing you're making is a dictionary. Yeah.
I'm like, I get it. It's hard to track things, particularly. I mean, I find it hard to track things now in the digital age when everything is a searchable document. So I can imagine. But if you're trying to make a reference book, that seems not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people would point out like, hey, in your earlier work, you spelled all these things this way. And he'd be like, well, just use the new one. And it was like, but all of these other ones are still in print. They're still around everywhere. And like, they don't agree with each other.
Yeah. There's a vibe of like winging it. Like he's just spelling with his heart. I don't know. How does this sound like it's spelled today?
we didn't get into this at all, but like this, the idea of English as the standard language and English being part of the national identity of the United States, obviously that has not gone away at all. There are still all kinds of ways that people judge other people for how they use English or don't. So yeah, it's the question of like, what does language mean in terms of the United States as a nation?
I mean, I have been thinking about this a lot lately because, you know, you and I have both traveled to other countries. And like, I marvel at the fact that almost everywhere we go, they have bothered to learn English because we can't do the opposite.
Yeah.
And I know people will say, no, that is evidence of our importance and power. But honestly, there are also just times when, like, I have been somewhere and they're like, oh, I speak enough broken English to get you through this. I couldn't do the same thing in reverse for most visitors to the U.S.
It honestly makes me really angry at this point in my life. Like, yeah, I wish I knew multiple languages. But other than, you know, an occasional Sesame Street piece in Spanish, I really didn't have any exposure to other languages until, like, 1 year I had some Spanish in elementary school, but it was because I was in a gifted class and only the gifted kids got some Spanish. And then it was, like, that was, like, a little bit where we learned sort of the letters and numbers and not a lot else. And then I had no other opportunity in public school to take a foreign language at all until middle school. And it was like, I would super love it if I had been learning two different languages, if not from birth, at least from elementary school. But it was like not even offered.
Will it make you feel better when I remind you that I learned French as a kid and then forgot a lot of it anyways?
I mean, that...
I was pretty fluent when I was little, and then it just like went goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's also a pretty common experience for folks that like have families that include speakers of multiple languages, but like don't have the opportunity to keep speaking those languages as they get older.
Yeah, and that's not like that old, you know, saying regarding riding a bike. I struggle with it still. It never like magically flashed back into my brain.
No. I for sure, when I started trying to relearn French as an adult, like it was easier to remember things that I had learned earlier. But it was not a case of where, like, I could suddenly test out of 23 levels of Duolingo or something like that based on what I had originally learned.
See, I did myself also the disservice of I did test out of the language requirement for college based on what I could scrap together. But I really wish I had not and had instead actually taken classes.
Yeah.
Because it would have reinforced all of my stuff.
Right. I did take French in college, but the French that I took in college, a lot of it was the same material that I had learned in high school because I started at like French 110, 120. And then when I tried to take French 210, 220, in my head, I was like, this is going to be so easy. I'm good at French, but I was good at French when it was the French that I had learned already. And so French 210, 220 was new stuff. And I had super overloaded my schedule that semester. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I signed up for way too many credit hours.
Right.
I wound up dropping French, which honestly, I was only taking because I was planning to go to graduate school. And that was like recommended for students who were graduate school bound. It was not for the sake of being able to fluently converse in another language.
Yeah.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Working on this episode has just reminded me of like various things that people have criticized on the show in terms of words that we used and how we used them. Like I intentionally sometimes put the word task into an episode as a verb, which is in this one, because it's a word that sometimes people are like, I hate when people use task as a verb. That's my pet peeve. And it's like, what's a totally valid use of the word that has been used for hundreds of years?
Listen, I get pet peeves. I have a kajillion of them.
Sure.
But also, like, there's a, I mean, here's my thing, right? I have plenty of pet peeves. There is a list a mile long of things I wish people would not do on the internet. And most of them are not like the egregious things, although I hate those too, but just minor behavioral things that I do not like.
Sure.
But the onus is on me to deal with that, not to police other people.
Yeah.
Like, just learn to cope. People can send you that same meme 22 times. It doesn't hurt you, even if you become irritated. It's fine.
I think we also talked recently on the show about like each of us has worked as an editor for years and our literal job has been the accuracy and consistency of written work. But the older I get and the more I learn, the less I care about any of that in any other person's ordinary day-to-day life. Like, I'm like, it's all made up. It does not matter.
It's all made up. And as I know we have said before, the more you edit, the more copy editing you do, the more you realize that the very, very best writers make mistakes or mm-hmm. have learned a word wrong. Or so like it is not a mark of personal failure to like have a grammar issue or a spelling issue. It's just life. It's just being a human. And if I understood what you're communicating, stupendous.
Yeah.
No reason to get fussy. Do you remember the first time you realized that British English was different than American English?
I don't, honestly.
I have such a strong sense memory of this.
Yeah.
And I was quite young and I was just learning to spell. I feel like my memory is that I was 5 or 6. I don't know where that puts me on the spelling learning zone, but someone like a neighbor who had traveled overseas had brought me back a coloring book and it was spelled C-O-L-O-U-R. And I was like, this is misspelled. And then someone had to explain to me, like, no, ma'am, there's actually different ways to spell stuff. And that usually means if it's an English word that it's from Britain. And I was like, what? And then I felt like I had an exotic coloring book from another land.
That's so fun. I love it.
It felt very exciting to me. I did mention, too, that I would talk about how much I understand that moment where you are working for bosses that don't really maybe want what another person might want. And I will not name any names, but I won't even name the industry. But at one point, I was hired by a smallish family business that had two bosses who were a couple who would give me wildly different directives.
Oh, no.
And I would be like, I don't know how to handle this. And I was young enough that I didn't know how to handle that. And I did not stay in that job very long.
I really don't envy Worcester being in that position. Like,
no, it's stressful.
Basically having bosses saying one thing and then have Webster, who was not his boss, but this was Webster's work, with totally different needs and priorities. Like, that sounds the opposite of fun to me. I would not like that.
No. I know we both have feelings about Webster. But do you know where he really just lost me?
Where?
I mean, kind of already, but when we find out that in his will, he had like calculated a reduction of his daughter's inheritance based on how he thought her husband had wronged him and would gain financially, I was like, you are so petty. Like,
yeah. I don't think I described him as petty, but that's a good, that's a good word.
There's a lot of petty moves going on in this whole story, not just on his part, but I'm just like, oh my goodness. Really? Like,
I obviously, and people, I don't know, there might be people who take issue with it. I obviously had a lot of sympathy for Worcester and a lot of frustrations with Webster, and I found various, brief summaries of Worcester's life that really framed him as like a behind the times guy that was standing as a barrier to progress with the English language and was insisting that only British was good. And I was like, that's not my read on this at all. Yeah. And then I was like, did Miriam's PR guys write this? How long has this idea been like floating around?
Right.
Springfield is not that far from here, and I have a feeling there is historical stuff related to all of these folks in that area. None of this is that far from here. I recognize I've had a lot of like 19th century New England in recent episodes, and it is not on purpose, and I am intentionally working on something that is not that for my next episode.
Dictionaries.
Yeah. I do love dictionaries.
Okay, how many dictionaries do you have?
Oh, I would have to think about that.
I feel like this was an off-the-cuff question. I did not plan this. I feel like as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, you know what? This is actually very hard because, one, probably we both have lots of dictionaries that we've acquired and have kind of fallen out of use and they're sitting in a box somewhere. But two, there are now a lot more different kinds of dictionaries, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like rhyming.
Yeah.
Thesaurus, does that count as a dictionary? Other language dictionaries, dictionaries of embroidery stitches, is that a dictionary? So I realized that that was a bad question. I retract it.
Okay. One of the things that I will say that I do love is that through a library that I'm a member of, I have an Oxford English Dictionary login. And boy, do I love that. And so to be totally honest, 90%, I would say 99% of my dictionary use in this day and age is either online or through an app. But I do still have a number of print dictionaries, including a Scrabble dictionary.
Nice.
A rhyming dictionary, a French English, English French dictionary. Yeah. I have a couple of dictionaries that are specifically obscure words or regional words, a couple of just like standard college dictionaries.
Star Wars visual dictionaries. Got a million of those.
Yeah. I might have some like Lord of the Rings dictionary somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, not the overwhelming majority of my dictionary lookup is either happening on the internet or like an app on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
So yeah.
It's so much faster.
It's a lot faster. And like some of them, like there's dictionaries on the shelf in the room with me right now, but, have I pulled them off the shelf in a long time? No, I have not. So, whatever's happening on your weekend, I hope it's great. If you are the kind of person who likes to read the dictionary, or if there are some kids in your life who like to read the dictionary, I hope you get some good dictionary reading time in your schedule. We'll be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow, which I believe may be dictionary related. Be back with a brand new episode on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.